Well, I am joined once again for today's Breakfast Bite by Pete Baker from Life Church Lancashire. Hi, Pete. How are you doing?
Hi, Nathan. Morning, everybody. Hope everyone's doing great.
Yeah, great to see you again and looking forward to today's Breakfast Bite. Would you like to dive right in?
I'd love to, yeah. Yeah, so obviously we celebrated Easter a few weeks ago. I spoke in our church on Easter Sunday. We're doing a series at the moment called Alive, which is part of a national movement, Hope Together, and Kingsgate Church. Lots of different churches are doing this Alive series in their local church, which is looking at the different people who encountered the risen Christ after the events of the Easter weekend, people who encountered the risen Christ. So I spoke on Easter Sunday morning about Mary Magdalene's encounter with the risen Christ. And in my message, I shared a number of reasons, six pieces of evidence for the resurrection. And that's your seventh that's really good that I didn't emphasize. So I thought this morning I'd share seven reasons to believe in the resurrection. So I know we're a few weeks now after Easter weekend, but the resurrection is the cornerstone of the Christian faith. So whether you consider yourself a Christian or not, if you are a Christian, you know, these may be help you, like have confidence in your faith. And if you're not yet a Christian, maybe some of the barriers to becoming a Christian is evidence. So I wanted to give you seven pieces of evidence of why we can have confidence that Jesus rose from the dead. Number one is that Jesus died. You know, that might seem obvious or counterintuitive, but one of the key pieces of evidence for the resurrection of Jesus is that Jesus definitely died. Some people claim that Jesus didn't resurrect in the way that Christians believe because they don't believe he died on the cross. Well, we know Romans were excellent experts in execution. You know, that we know that, we have confidence in that from history, that the Roman Empire was brutal. It was brutal with people who were seen as any kind of rebel against the empire. And essentially the cross, the crucifixion, was a way of saying, this is what you get if you mess with us. That's what the cross was doing. And so we know the Romans were experts at execution. And so we have lots of confidence that they knew what they were doing. We also have evidence from the scriptures, from the gospels, that when they stuck the spear in the side of Jesus, the blood and the water flowed separate, which is a sign of death. But we also have non-gospel accounts of the death of Jesus. You know, Roman historians at the time and Jewish historians at the time recognized that Jesus died on the cross. You know, most 99% of credible historians all over the world will say, whatever their faith is, they'll say the death of Jesus is one of the most best attested facts in ancient history. The second piece of evidence was that the tomb was empty. So very quickly, a lie began to spread that the body had been stolen and moved. But here's the reality. Here's the truth. Here's the evidence. The tomb was empty and no body was ever found. No body was ever found. You know, that's some pretty strong evidence. All the other great religious leaders, you can go to some graveside, you can go to the place where their body lays, but the tomb was empty. Number three, hundreds of eyewitnesses saw Jesus alive. The Bible says that over 500 people saw him at different points. And here's what's really cool about that is Paul, who says that 500 people saw Jesus alive, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, you can go and talk to these people. These are real people that are in our communities. Go and talk to them. Go and ask them. There was over 500 eyewitnesses that saw the risen Christ. Number four, the disciples, the 11 disciples, you know, there's 12 disciples that Jesus picked. Judas took his own life after the betrayal. John lived into old age in prison. Lived out his days on Patmos, where he wrote the book of Revelation. But 10 of the 12 were killed for their faith. Some were crucified. They were martyred for their faith. 10 of the 12 disciples were killed for their faith and their faith in the risen Christ, not just their faith that Jesus died, but their faith that he rose again from the dead. And if it was a lie, surely they would have said, you know, at the point of execution, at the point of death, at the point of crucifixion, those 10 disciples surely would have said, no, okay, it was a lie. I made it up. It's not true. But those 10 of those 12 disciples were martyred, were persecuted, were killed for their faith, not for any gain. They had no financial gain, no fame to gain from it, no notoriety. There wasn't this big religious institution called Christianity that was a global phenomenon. No, it was a handful of Jesus followers. When they died for their faith, Christianity was a tiny movement of people. So when they died for their faith, they didn't know what Christianity would become. And so that's another piece of evidence that the disciples, the eyewitnesses, the ones who were closest to Jesus, died for their faith. The fifth piece of evidence is that the resurrection was preached from really early on in Christianity. Some people want to argue that some Christian beliefs like the resurrection were added on years later, but that's just not the case. The resurrection was preached really early on in the Christian faith. 1 Corinthians 15, in Paul's letter, just a few years after the death and resurrection of Jesus, Paul writes this letter, and it's spread across the Christian community, their belief, their fundamental belief in the resurrection. So the resurrection was a belief that was preached on really early on in Christianity. The sixth piece of evidence is that skeptics like James and Paul were transformed. So there were people, James knew Jesus. James was Jesus's half-brother. They grew up together. James knew Jesus really well. They would have played together. They would have eaten together. And when Jesus was being claimed to be the Messiah, James said, no way, that's my brother. I know this guy. You know, he's not the Messiah. But James was transformed. James goes on to become a believer. Not just that Jesus is the Messiah, but Jesus is the risen Christ, the Son of the living God. James goes on to write, you know, an epistle in the New Testament and becomes a key leader in the early church. So James, a skeptic, was transformed. And Paul, when we first meet Paul, his mission is to end the Jesus movement. But Paul meets the risen Christ and becomes a follower of Jesus, writes half the New Testament and spreads the gospel to the known world. And the seventh piece of evidence is the testimony of the women. When I was 17, 18 years old, doing my A-level RE, I did an essay on Did Jesus Rise from the Dead? And I simply wrote, yes, and then gave all the evidence for the resurrection. And the evidence that I led with was the testimony of the women. So in the modern world that we live in, you know, we value the voice of women. And sadly, not all the time. Sadly, still women are often not believed or not listened to. But 2,000 years ago, in this culture, the testimony of a woman was not valid in a court of law. If a woman was the only witness to a crime, then the criminal would have got off because the testimony of a woman wasn't valid in court. But here, the first witnesses to the resurrection were women, were Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Susanna. You know, we've got these women that we meet early on, the first witnesses to the resurrection are women. Mary Magdalene in John's gospel is the first one to witness the resurrection. If this was made up, the writers, they wouldn't have said it was a woman that was the witness, because that would have been thrown out in their society. This is massively countercultural, the idea that the testimony of the resurrection is based on the testimony of women whose voices were not valid in this culture. And here's one of the beautiful things about this story is that the voices of women and the testimony of women and the role of women gets amplified in the Christian story through people like Mary Magdalene and others. So that's seven. There's lots more, but that's seven pieces of evidence. And of course, the biggest piece of evidence, you know, that's evidence from history, from scripture. But for many people, the biggest piece of evidence is that they've encountered the risen Christ. You know, I've got all this evidence, but here's my reality is I've met Jesus. I've spent time with Jesus. Jesus has transformed me. Jesus has impacted me. And I have met countless people whose lives have been transformed by the risen Christ. And I meet these people all the time. Every week, we're seeing people in our church being transformed by the risen Christ, giving their lives to Jesus, meeting Jesus in a new and a fresh way. And this is happening all over the world. The people are still meeting with the risen Christ, and he's still transforming them. So if you're listening to this today, and I'd really encourage you, look at the evidence, but also open yourself up to an encounter with the risen Christ. May you today know the power of the risen Christ at work in your life. May you know his presence, and may you become one of his followers. In Jesus' name, amen.
Wow, thanks so much there, Pete. Really great thought for us. And I like that there are 7 pieces of evidence you gave, one for each day of the week.
Beautiful.
Yeah, and some really good evidence in there, people's testimonies. That's something that you can't really argue with, is it? When people talk about their own testimony, their own experience, that's not something that any skeptic can deny.
Yes, no, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and so much great evidence to reinforce the truths of Jesus' death and resurrection, which gives us the confidence to go out and share this truth with others and the joy that goes with it.
Yeah, amen. Yeah.
Well, thanks so much, Pete. A great thought for us and a fantastic breakfast bite. I look forward to another one next week.
Bless you. Thanks, everyone. Have a great day.
Pure 24/7 Radio is listener supported, which means we are free, online, and always pure because of the generous support of our listeners. If you would like to contribute financially, please visit pure247radio.org. If you'd like to find out how we use your money, please visit the Our Cost section. Any donation of any size will help keep us on air and broadcasting for free. Thank you.